Please turn with me tonight to Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1, and if I may read verse 13. Colossians, chapter 1, speaking about the Father and the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, verse 14, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So as it was announced, my title is really one word. Delivered. Delivered from what? Oh, the gospel. The gospel is the way by which the Lord delivers us from the power of darkness. And I will do my best in the lapse of time to explain that. My dear friends, brothers and sisters, here is what God has done for sinners like us. Here is the gospel of a gracious God, a great God, a glorious God. What could we say about the gospel? So, in these two verses, verse 13 and 14 in Colossians chapter 1, we have actually the gospel of salvation defined, fulfilled, explained, but also applied. How can I be forgiven? How can I be righteous before the holy God? God is holy. We should never forget that. And that's why many religions, many people, they don't want to hear about the gospel because they want to continue to live as they want and as they wish. But God is holy. This is what the Bible says from cover to cover, that God is holy. So if God is holy, who are we? We are sinful. We are sinners. Oh yes, I hear sometimes people say, we are the little lovely ones. We are not the little lovely ones. We are the great, great evil and wicked ones. And please don't think this is just a preacher who are saying these things. This is what the Word of God says. So, how could I overcome my sins? How could I overcome my nature, that sinful nature? Now, just few words of really introduction into this. When Paul considers the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he does? He bursts into praises and prayers. Can I show it to you? In verse 2, he does something there, and he says in verse 3, I beg your pardon, verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And he does the same in verse 9. Look at verse 9 also. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Then in verse 12, so three times, just in the background of these verses, as Paul thinks about the work done by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for sinners, he's overwhelmed, really. And then he praises God. He prays to God and gives thanks to God. Later, if you study the letter of Colossians, at least six times, Paul gives thanks to God because of the gospel. Because of that work of redemption done by the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives thanks to God. A great work done on behalf of sinners. But it's not only that Paul praises and prays to God. In these verses, he provides a contrast. There is a contrast. In few words, just to wrap it up. That contrast is really like in terms of there is a conflict. Oh, where is the conflict or the contrast? It is between Satan and the Son of God. It is between darkness and light. It is between wickedness and good. But also, it is between two kingdoms. You may like it or not, there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the domain of Satan, the domain of darkness. That is why Satan is called the prince of darkness. But if there are two kingdoms, it means there are also two kings. Oh, one king is a despot. One king is evil. One king wants only the bad part in his children. He's a tyrant. But the other king, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a loving king. He is a kind king. He is a compassionate king. But if you have two kingdoms, two kings, it means also you have only two conditions: saved, unsaved, in the light or in darkness. That's all you have. We make a classification, we make a category between people, but really, spiritually speaking, there are only two kinds of people. In which class are you? Saved or unsaved? Converted or unconverted? In the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of Satan? But it means also there are only two places. And people don't want to hear about that. But can I tell you, for the Bible, there are only two places: hell or heaven. People don't want to hear about hell. But unless you know something about hell, you will never appreciate heaven. You know, people, they love heaven, but they hate the landlord of heaven. You can do that with your landlord, but you cannot do that with the landlord of heaven. Because he is gracious, he is merciful, but he is also a God who is holy. And one day he said, we shall all appear before him in judgment. It is appointed unto man to die once. Then comes what? Judgment comes in. So you see the contrast Paul is building up in these verses. My dear brothers and sisters, dear friend, there is a battle, you like it or not, there is a battle raging in order to take over your soul. You see, the soul is so important. Satan wants it. His demons wants it. But there is a loving God who wants to do good to your soul. And there are powers, evil powers of darkness, who also want to keep us. They are fighting to keep us in total darkness. And I believe, like what happened to Paul, when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, you know what happened to him? It's like scales fell from his eyes, and now he could see. And that is what should happen to any one of us and every one of us who come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please look at the words again. They are so important. I wouldn't dwell too much on that. And in verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Every word, I wish I have the rest of the night really just to spend in every word could be a sermon. Really, in these two verses. But the first thing I would like to put before you, because delivered gives us the answer on how we can escape the ruin, on how we can escape the darkness, on how we can find the forgiveness of our sin, on how we can overcome sin that entangles us and chains us and makes us to be slaves. And the first thing Paul mentions is there is power, but the power of darkness. My dear friends, can I speak to you in the most gentle way, believe me? I hope everyone here appreciates that. The Bible is an honest book. That's one thing, really. It is a trustworthy book, but reliable book. But also honest. Why am I saying this? The Bible doesn't flatter us. The Bible tells me things without any camouflage. What do I mean? The Bible tells me that this world is under the jurisdiction of evil powers. This world is darkness. Yes, we have the lights, the bulbs, we have technology, we have street lighting, flood lighting, we have the plants and so on. But indeed, this world is in darkness. We are in darkness. That's why Christ said, I'm the light of the world. Because the world was in darkness and is still in darkness. Unless we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we remain in darkness. And we cannot change. Oh, you can be generous, you can be intelligent, you can be smart. But left to yourself, you will never able to change your condition. The leopard cannot change the spots on his skin. The Ethiopian cannot change the color of his skin. It's impossible. Conversion, regeneration, faith, these things are given to us freely as we repent, as we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, the Bible is an honest book. And it tells me that I'm a sinner. We don't want to hear that. How could you say I'm a sinner? I'm a good person. But I am intrinsically evil. I can do things inimaginable. Really, you cannot imagine them, but I'm able to do them. A child is able to do them. And that's why from cover to cover, I can quote just one verse from the Word of God, Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. Not just some, but all. But you see something in verse 13. Paul includes himself among the people who were in darkness. We were. So the greatest apostle inspired by God here, giving us the word of God, he's telling us, all of us were in that condition. All of us were in that status. All of us were in that state. That was our condition. And we couldn't change it. And we are in darkness, chained in sin because of what? Because of our vices, because of our lusts, evil lusts, because of our viciousness, because of our pride, because of our ignorance, because of our arrogance, and so on. We could multiply the evil part because of even our superstitions. You know, ask people about God, about life, you will hear terrible and horrible things. So many superstitions. But the word of God helps us to come out from those things. Vanity, gimmicks, and all those things. Oh, we can come out from them. My dear friends, God is holy, as I mentioned earlier. And His holiness will destroy us if we stay in our condition to being unsaved, unreconciled with the living God. So please, can I challenge you? There is no greater joy than to leave this house of prayer tonight, knowing that all my sins, secret sins, my jealousies, my envies, my covetousness, everything, my pride, things I would never want anyone to know, all those things are forgiven because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the holiness of God. Do not play with it. It's so important. We shall stand before God. But we are so much in darkness. You know, John 3 verse 19 says, light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Can this be said about you? You don't want to come to Christ tonight because you don't want to come to the light because your deeds are evil. That's what the text says. But you know, to be in darkness also is to be ignorant. And I'm saying these things with great respect to everyone. We are ignorant about basic things. Why am I here? Why do I live? Please, can I ask you, is life just to sleep, to eat, to work? Is just that routine? Or to enjoy myself? Or if that's the only life we have in this world, I don't want it. There is something else. There is a greater life. People say, oh, the church, look at the people, they are boring. Church is like a killjoy. No, actually, it's because the people, you have never experienced what it means to be converted. Because once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you what? He gives you life in abundance. He gives you what? He gives you everlasting life. What do we mean by everlasting life? Have you met somebody who can give you eternal or everlasting life in this world? No one. But everlasting means the life of God Himself, because God is the only one who is eternal and everlasting. So, as we come to Him, He gives us... God is not a killjoy. He gives joy. He gives perpetual joy, permanent joy. Yes, you will go through trials, you will go through troubles. I do not dare. If a preacher tells you, come to Christ and your problems will come to an end, run away from that church. He's telling you a lie. You come to Christ, maybe this is where your problems will start. But I can guarantee you from the Word of God, you come to Christ and you repent from all your sins. Yes, you will go through turmoil, a tsunami of troubles, but you have a helper. You have a helper. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace is the presence of God in a person's life. And Christ said, I give you my peace. John 14 verse 27, I give you my peace. Not like the world. The world gives you an ephemeral, a brief peace. But the peace of God is eternal, and no one can remove it from your heart. Oh, ignorance about basic matters, the existence of God, the purpose of life, why are we here, where are we going? So we need to be delivered from our sins, delivered from our pride, delivered from our arrogance, delivered from our ignorance, delivered from the guilt. You know, many people are unhappy, not because they don't have money or they don't have a good job. They are unhappy because of guilt. Guilt is like a mountain above your soul, on your soul, crushing you down. There will never be peace. Bible says, there is no peace for the wicked. So, as we preach the gospel, we pray that God will give you that peace. Then you need help to be delivered from bondage, from captivity, and from darkness. I cannot help you with that, but God can. So that's the first word, the power of darkness. But maybe you are thinking this preacher is only negative tonight. But here is the positive. From now on, it's only positive. And something is going to happen to show you that God loves us. He doesn't want us to remain in the power of darkness in that domain. But look at the verse 13. It's all in the text. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Oh, that word delivered. Delivered. The word delivered means to be saved. To put it simple. It means to be rescued. It means to be pulled out, snatched out, dragged out from a horrible, horrific tragedy and problem. Something you could never help yourself to be rescued from by yourself, no matter how intelligent you could be. Oh, to be delivered from a terrible danger. My dear friends, sin is a terrible danger we need to be pulled out from. I like Augustine's definition of sin. 4th century, long time ago. But he said sin is believing that you are self-created, self-dependent, and self-sufficient. Is this not what is happening in the world? I created myself. You created yourself? How come? And even when people, you ask them, who created you? My parents. Who created your parents? Oh, there must be a creator. Certainly. Certainly. It's impossible. You know, if evolution was true, then they will be able to create something that beats what the nature has created. But look at the beauty of birds. The plane is an imitation of bird. But you know, the biggest plane, the A380, it has 4 million components. But the bird, look, even so huge. But the bird, the tiny one. Why? Because God created it. And it does marvelous things with the greatest plane in the world will never be able to do. Why? Because the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. Even nature tells us that there is a God. Oh, I wish I could say more, but delivered. Who had delivered us? Darkness is a domain with great power and authority. And I meet people again. Maybe you are in that case. I don't know. And they tell me, I can stop it whenever I want. I can stop my sin whenever I want. It's up to me. And I look at the people, I say, try. You may try a week, 2 weeks, but then you go back again. The old man wins you and beats you. You know, sin is a king. It grips. The grips are too tight. You cannot just decide by your own mind with a knock on the head, I'm going to stop it. Because it's too strong. It's a domain. It's darkness, and darkness are powerful. Oh, real freedom is not to be free from God. It is to find God. It is to believe in God. It is to serve God. That's real freedom. So salvation is a great deliverance. It is a great salvation. It is a rescue. But you know, as soon as the bulb of the gospel is put on in your mind, darkness is dispelled. Darkness vanishes. It disappears because there is someone mightier, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings that gospel into your mind and in your heart and in your soul. And now, when that gospel light comes in a person's soul, I see myself. I see my sin. I see, oh, this world is not what only what there is. Because some people think there is nothing after death. This is how the devil is lying to the people. The problem with us, we prefer to believe in the lies of the devil than to believe in the truth of God. This book, just to compile it, in case someone doesn't know, just to compile this book, it took 1600 years. You know how many years it required to compile the Quran? Just 20 years. 1600, from Genesis to Revelation, and there is not the slightest contradiction. If you find a discrepancy, it's easy to find the answer from the Word of God. Not from what somebody said, but directly from the Word of God, we find the answer to that discrepancy. So, you can trust the Bible. When Christ says, come unto me, and I will give you everlasting life, you can cleave unto that. You can cling to that. And certainly, God will do it, because God cannot lie. I like that verse in Titus 1 verse 2. It says, God cannot lie. Impossible. So when he says that the wicked shall perish, he will do it. When he says the righteous who have repented and trust in the precious blood of Christ shall be saved, he will certainly do it. My dear friends, the power of darkness was my first point. I explained it. The second was the deliverance. Who hath delivered us? But now there is a third in verse 13. And it says there, who has also done something greater, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I thought only languages are translated. But people are also translated. What do I mean here? God saw our condition and He acted. He acted by doing what? Translating us, transporting us, but also transferring us. Those three words are the same actually. God has moved us. So salvation, to rescue us, to deliver us from our evil condition, required a transfer operation. So as soon as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, there is a move. You are deported from one location. It's not physical. You would still be in Ashford, but you will be transported, you will be translated, you will be moved from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, and be moved into what? Into another kingdom. And you know that kingdom, the text says, is a kingdom of love. It is a kingdom of light. It is a kingdom of life. Everything which is required to save you spiritually will be given unto you. And God does it. A new condition, a new camp, a new state, and a new status into the kingdom of God. We do not have power to transport ourselves into the kingdom of God. Nowadays, you hear people speak a lot about migration, immigration, and so on. But salvation is the greatest migration in a person's life. Maybe if you forget all what I said, I think this is important. If you come to Christ tonight, you will go through the greatest migration in your life. Why? Because salvation and conversion shifts everything. You will be transported from bad to better. You will be transported and transferred from ruin to salvation, to rescue. You will be transported from ignorance, and you will receive wisdom, knowledge. You will be transported from corruption to incorruption. You will be transported from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from futility to utility, from uselessness to usefulness. We could use so many words to show the beauty of conversion when it happens in the life of a person. So God has done great things for us, and you will be transferred from hell to heaven without doing anything. You see, every religion says, good works, good works. Go to Mecca, go to this place, pilgrimage here, give your hand, give your foot, give your money, and so on. But you see, salvation is free. I couldn't pay for it. My dear brothers and sisters, God has nothing to sell. God is a giver. You can be a tradesman, but God is not a tradesman. Why? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have present tense, now on, present tense, have everlasting life, eternal life. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God loved us that He gave. Now, as I move in verse 14, there are also four words. And as I said, all is in the text. Four words. Before I close, I will do it very quickly because there is so much for us into it to think about. But these four words will also help us to understand how to be delivered, but also how to receive free salvation. And the first word given to us in verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption. I really love this word in English, the word redemption. It's a beautiful word. Even to hear it, the sound of it is marvelous. Redemption. What does it mean? It means to be released, to be set free. And it is a wonderful word because it is also related to trading, it is actually a commercial term used in relation to slavery in the past, the word redemption. So, which means, and I'm saying this politely, gently, and so on, which means outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all slaves. Doesn't matter which continent you are from, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, we need redemption. And redemption, the word is in relation with slavery, which means in the past, in New Testament times, for a slave to be set free, you know what? A price, a ransom must be paid. But the problem, the slave there in chain in the marketplace couldn't pay for himself. So you too, you and me, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the market slave in this world, that it is impossible. We are impotent when it comes to pay the price for our own sins. So guess what? Someone else must pay that price. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is omnipotent, paid one price, his own life, to set you free if you believe in him tonight. And that price was a great price. You know what happened at the cross of Calvary? There was a sweet exchange. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took your hell, my hell. If you trust in him, if you repent and come to him, he took that on the cross. So now, as I come to him, his righteousness is counted unto me, is credited unto me. So when I stand before God at the day of judgment, Romans 8 verse 1, no more condemnation. And the verdict will be what? If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be pronounced and say, acquitted. Acquitted, set free. No more condemnation. That's what is happening, because Christ paid that enormous price. He was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, God cannot overlook your sins and my sin. This is what is misleading many people. Oh, God is like a grandfather there. He is kind, he is gentle. Everyone will go to heaven. He doesn't harm a fly. Don't bother people by telling them about hell and judgment and so on. God cannot overlook sin. Sin must be paid for. And Christ took that price on the cross of Calvary when he gave his life, and he qualified us to be accepted by the living God. Now the second word which is there, maybe expression, in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. We live again in a world we don't want to hear about blood now. Oh, please don't speak about that. But you see, Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Someone must pay. Animals couldn't pay for the sins of the people. And you see, Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And I really love the Lord Jesus Christ. I really love his word. You know why? God didn't give us something. He gave us someone. He didn't give us gold and silver. He gave us something greater. You know what God gave us? God gave us God. Not something smaller than himself. So Christ took upon himself on the cross of Calvary what we could have never paid for. All the tears, gold and silver, the blood and all the ideas, the philosophies of this world couldn't pay for my sins. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash my sins away? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the just died for sinners. I know my time is over. Maybe you will not invite me anymore. But there is more into the text. Look at, it's not just about redemption. It's not just about through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the outcome. There is an outcome if you come to the Lord tonight. And it says there in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Please tell me one religion which says you can receive free of charge the forgiveness of sins. For the last 30 years I'm studying religion after religion, but I didn't find any. Only the religion of the Bible. Forgiveness of sins. That's the outcome of redemption and the greatest benefit of salvation. Forgiven. Forgiveness. No more. Washed away. Whiter than snow. So God will remember our sins no more. Forgiven, we have peace with God. We don't need a therapist, you know. We don't need a psychologist. We don't need a psychiatrist. We need a savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. You know Matthew 1 verse 21, you shall give him the name Jesus, for he shall do what? Save his people from their sins. That's why he came. The Son of Man came to be the physician of souls. He is the one who can heal the soul. So the Savior to forgive us our trespasses and to give us new life. But fourthly, I made it by purpose to jump that small pronoun. It is a pronoun in verse 14. In whom? Which means the only one. The only one. This morning I was saying in the teaching service, some believers are asking, or non-believers are asking, or saying all religions are equal. No, all religions are not equal. This passage reminds us that salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ is God, but he is also man. He is the high priest, and he is also the sacrifice. He is the lesson, and he is the teacher. He is the message, and he is the messenger. Everything in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is unique. He is exceptional. No one. Sometimes I compare. I say, let's compare Muhammad and Christ. No, there is no comparison. It is a sin actually to compare Christ with anyone else. Because in Isaiah 40, the Lord said, to whom do you compare me? To whom? So Christ alone and no one else. He suffered the agony as a penalty for our sins. In him, no more checkpoints to forgiveness. We have free and direct access to God. His death is a warrant that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Please give me 2 more minutes. Now, what are the benefits? I'm reading your mind, if you may. Preacher, if I come to the Lord Jesus tonight, what are the advantages? What are the benefits? Oh, you gain everything. You know, the world promises everything but gives nothing. But Christ gives everything. I mentioned already that he gives life. He gives love. And he gives light. Now, if you come to him tonight, from a child of darkness, you become a child of light. Spiritually dead, you receive everlasting life. Enslaved by Satan, you are given the spirit of liberty. And he qualifies you to be in his holy family. That's what verse 12 says. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And verse 13 translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You are not anymore a slave, but you are a son. There is no greater benefit we can receive in this world than to become children of the living God. The day I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I was 22 when I found the Lord, when I was converted. For me to become the child of the living God. In Islam, I was told only, you are a slave, you are a slave. But now I'm a child of God. Why? Because Christ, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't made myself to believe. I'm sure He's the one who chose me before the foundation of this world. And I came in repentance with tears, crying, "Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, be merciful unto me, a wretched sinner." If you do that prayer, you know, that's the shortest prayer in the Bible. You don't have to ask any preacher, "What prayer should I pray?" Pray the biblical prayer. Don't come to the front. Don't lift up your hand. Just say the shortest prayer in the Bible. "Lord, help me." And if you mean it, the Lord Jesus Christ will save you, and you will be transferred into an eternal, unshakable, heavenly kingdom of righteousness, peace and joy by the Holy Spirit. You will have a new master, not Satan anymore, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Rescued, redeemed, forgiven, freed and transferred. And when you leave this world, you know what happens? All is well with your soul. All is well with my soul. Because of the work of Christ. From being guilty, I'm now acquitted. And from being a sinner, I become a saint. Oh, I close. I close with this. These things should really eagerly and swiftly move my heart to come to the Lord in repentance. Why be homeless while there is a house? Why be hungry while there is enough food? Why be in darkness? While there is light? Oh, call out to the Lord. Come to Christ. Believe in the Son of God. Come, enter. The door is wide open. Don't go to a man. Man will deceive you. But go directly to the Lord. Tonight you go back home in the secret of your heart. In your room, alone with God. Only two things are necessary for a sinner to be saved: God and the sinner. No mediator. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. So come to Him. He's the light, and His light shall shine upon you, and you shall never walk in darkness. Delivered once for all. Come to Christ. He paid the price. Let's close by singing our last hymn.